This has been a really wild wildfire season. Wacky, hasn't it, Mr. Fudge?
Yeah. Interestingly enough, we helped with the dinner last night out at the farmhouse to thank area first responders. And I was talking to one of the guys from the Maxwell Fire Department, and they are receiving back operational control on the Cottonwood Fire tomorrow. Mm-hmm. And so they were going to tour the hot spots today to make sure they understood where they were and that sort of thing. But yeah, that sounds like it's winding down. But Jim was telling me yesterday that, I mean, some of those hot spots in those canyons where a lot of cedar trees are, I mean, they could be working on those things for weeks yet. Yeah. So still kind of a dangerous situation, but really grateful for our first responders who've been on the front lines of these things here for the past few weeks.
For sure. Planning Commission met Tuesday at City Hall, and you had a pretty lengthy agenda there. Most of these you can kind of, you don't have to spend a lot of time on. You did have a lot of discussion on a few items concerning application by Antonio Gonzalez for an amendment to the City of North Platte Comprehensive Plan to amend certain land from residential medium density and multifamily to commercial. And this is property located on 2200 East 2nd Street. And the Platteview subdivision, I guess, is the description of that.
Yeah, and so this was probably the item on the agenda that caused us the most consternation. It was, so this is out, if you go on Bicentennial out towards, if you go out on, I'm not going to be able to say the name of the street, but it's close to the intersection of Bicentennial and 2nd Street. And this property adjoins or is right next to some property where there's some residential. This is in an R3 area, but it's there's also some other light commercial things going on right next door to this property. There's a boys and girls a home right there. You're about a block away from some of the commercial stuff that's going on 4th Street where McNews Unlimited is. And some other things right over there, J.A. Weaver Construction. And so you've got kind of some land that's out there that's been vacant for a long time. And so you had somebody who wanted to come in and build a construction office. So there were some neighbors that were opposed to it, understandably so. And so the Planning Commission, what they decided to do, it was close. This one was 4-3. They decided to go ahead and allow for this to happen. But there were some additional conditions. So there's three items that we had to take up. One was amending the future land use map. One was to flip the zoning, and then one was to actually grant the conditional use permit. So on the conditional use permit, what we did was said, okay, look, you can go ahead and build this, but you got to build a privacy fence, a barrier fence on any side of this thing that abuts existing residential, and you've got to put down some sort of a hard surface in your parking lot so that if you're moving equipment here and there, it doesn't create a whole bunch of dust for the neighbors.
Yeah.
So that's kind of where we landed on that. Now it'll be interesting to see what City Council does with these things, with this thing, because again, we're a recommending body. City Council is ultimately the folks that can approve or deny these things. And so we'll see what they decide on this. We've had these sort of things happen before. One of them over on, I believe it was Elm Street, they kicked back at us, or they kicked back. They didn't like that switch. And so we'll see if they go along with this or if they don't like this either. So, but the Planning Commission voted 4-3 in favor of the future land use map change and the zoning change, and then went 6-1 in favor of the conditions on the conditional use permit.
How much do you factor in what the people that already live on the land?
Boy, it's
lot. Their thoughts, because there's going to be that group of people always are like, I like my quiet little setting and I don't want anything else going on.
And the problem tends to, so this probably is a good example of an area of town that probably is a bit what we would call in new zoning language, a business transitional district. And so the hard part is, how do you go from residential properties, especially when they're long established, into a business area? Well, these BT areas, a lot of times serve that function. And so, This kind of feels like an appropriate use over there. You certainly wouldn't want to anything more. You certainly wouldn't want industrial over there, or you wouldn't want some other applications over there. But this isn't. We didn't feel like, I don't think, in the end, that this was something that would be terribly disruptive to the neighborhood. At least we hope it's not. And so, And the other part about it that you got to consider too is these are lots that have sat vacant for years and years and years and years. And as the town kind of fills in, we're going to see more and more conflict between existing homeowners and people who want to develop. And we see that all over. This is not unique to this property. Right. We saw it out on in a couple other areas. We saw it out on South Buffalo last year. These areas of town are going to continue to change and evolve, and those are difficult things sometimes for folks to kind of absorb.
David Fudge of the Planning Commission, our guest on Mugs in the Morning on this Friday. So you did recommend a pass on. One was just a one vote in favor to pass it on, right?
Mm-hmm.
Was that the conditional use permit one?
No, that was the 4-3 on the first two, and then 6-1 on the conditional use permit.
Okay. So there was a lot of good discussion on that, and I guess that's why there's always an odd number of people on these commissions.
Well,
you don't wind up in a lot of ties, right?
Right, yeah. We did actually have a tie on Thursday morning at the Board of Adjustment, and then just nothing happens because we couldn't get a positive vote in any direction, and so just nothing happened on that application. Okay. So.
Some other things you dealt with, considering action on an application by Charles Roberts and Richard Hausman for Roberts Subdivision. That's out on Rodeo Road, 2401.
Yep. That would be next to the Casey's out on the corner of Rodeo Road and Buffalo Bill. You've got that Casey's there, and then you've got some property that kind of surrounds that they've been cleaning up, had gotten kind of run down. And so they subdivided that. What was one large L-shaped lot into two lots, which made sense to us. And so we went ahead and approved that one unanimously.
Okay. And then considered an application by the Wild West Arena Foundation for a conditional use permit to allow construction of a new beverage service facility.
Right. As the arena continues to evolve, there'd been a number of buildings constructed out there to try and make things more efficient. And this is just another evolution in that. It essentially creates a new building vending area on what would be the south end of the concrete area to allow for more efficient flow of traffic and more efficient delivery of products. So
this will be a permanent,
yes.
Permanent building then?
Yep. Okay. And replaced a couple of temporary structures that they'd been putting up. Okay. So, this will be a good step for them.
Okay. Application by Zane and Sarah Grandel for an amendment to the City of North Platte Comprehensive Plan. Mm-hmm. Land use map to amend certain land from agricultural vacant to residential low density.
Yeah, so this is out on North River Road where you've got some existing housing, kind of pockets of housing out there as you go, west on North River Road from Highway 83. Of course, there's some housing out there, and then as you go further up that road, it kind of thins out. Well, this is right on the border of where there's some housing development. They needed to take one lot and split it into two, and because it's the total area is less than 10 acres, it couldn't remain agricultural, and so we had to change the land use map to residential, and then go ahead and split the lots, which happened.
And so that's something that happens pretty frequently.
Yeah, they're nothing out of the ordinary on that, and there's plenty of existing housing, as I mentioned, out in that area. So,
and then. Along with that, rezoning from A1 Transitional Agricultural District to an RL Suburban Dwelling District.
Yep, and so again, that was, you have to rezone it because you an agricultural housing area has to have at least 10 acres.
At least 10 acres to qualify
right.
for that.
So then, if you're not going to be 10 acres, you've got to split it into, or you've got to rezone it into something else. And so RL made sense out there.
Okay, good deal. And then. On to 10, application by Lutheran Family Services of Nebraska for a conditional use permit to allow construction of an outpatient health clinic in an R3 dwelling district, and this is property located at 1160 Linda Court.
Yeah, and so if you think about where Francis Street is now running east, it's been extended. Of course, you've got the new housing developments going on out there south or north of the Platte River. This is a vacant lot that sits adjacent to a property that's being developed by The Connection. Some of their transitional housing that's going on right there on Francis and Bryan Avenue. And so Lutheran Family Services helps folks who are transitioning or in the middle of a life transition in some way. Sometimes if you wind up in the homeless shelter, you've had a bunch of things go wrong in your life, right?
Yep.
So Lutheran Family Services identified this piece of ground. They sometimes work with the residents of The Connection, and so this made perfect sense that folks who would be in that transitional housing would have access to those services that would be adjacent to era housing that they would be in. And so they're going to continue to operate the facility out here on the corner of Jeffers and Rodeo Road.
Okay.
And this will be a secondary. They're going to change that a little bit and change the services they're doing in there, but this will be kind of a primary care, primary counseling facility for them.
Yeah, that sounds just natural.
Yeah, yeah. There's a lot of symmetry out there that they can take advantage of, especially with the residents that will be migrating from the homeless shelter downtown into more transitional housing.
Mm-hmm. Sounds good. And then discuss and consider action on an amendment to the City of North Platte Code of Ordinances. Special design criteria for RM Mobile Home Park to add G4, which would allow for alternative manufactured home foundations.
So this is, if you are going to develop a new mobile home park in the City of North Platte, you're required in our code to build a FEMA-grade storm shelter as part of that development, because trailer houses are not, by their very nature, very safe places to be during a storm.
A little sturdier than a mobile home to go to in case of tornadoes.
Correct. And so one of the things you can do to now building a FEMA-grade storm shelter is not something that's inexpensive to do.
I would imagine.
Yes.
Yeah.
So one of the alternatives that we're seeing pop up in zoning reg across the country is allowing the developers to go in and set these mobile homes on permanent foundations and attach them to permanent foundations so that they would have the same kind of safety grading that a stick-built home would have. So you would, so that was basically what was in front of us. Should we allow developers of mobile home parks to not just back a trailer in on a pad and put a skirt around it, but lift them off, take the axles out from underneath of them and permanently affix them to a foundation that's 36 or I think 42 inches in the ground and make them as safe as possible, and then save the step of having to go out and build a FEMA grade
Doing that
instead of
they lose the requirement to have to build.
Correct.
The FEMA.
So you would have to do one of the two, right? And so City Council will take this up on it, and all this stuff, by the way, goes to the council on April 7th, and again, council has the final say on this. But what we said is that makes sense to us. If you're going to go through the step of putting a manufactured home on a permanent foundation, then cool. Then you don't have to build a FEMA grade storm shelter. Now, if you want the ability to have people who own their own trailers be able to pull them in, rent a space, and leave the wheels and axles and everything underneath of them, then you still have to do that. You still have to build the storm shelter. But if you're going to lift them off and put them on these foundations and permanently anchor them to those so that it's basically to the same design criteria that a stick-built home would be from a foundational standpoint, then that's good enough for us, and there are no further storm shelter requirements.
Okay.
So that's what that was about.
Okay. And that all these items we've been discussing will be on the council agenda, we presume, here?
Yeah, April 7th, I think, is. I'm trying to do the math in my head looking
it
at the calendar.
Yeah,
Tuesday the 7th, yeah. So,
That's good there. And then you discussed changes to regulations regarding food truck vendors.
Third month in a row we've talked about food truck vendors. Mm-hmm. I expect to see this on the agenda maybe perhaps as soon as April's meeting. We saw some proposed regs. And so in a lot of cases what we do when we have something that we think we need to address is we go out and see what our peers are doing. You know, what do the regs say in Grand Island, or what do the regs say in Norfolk or Kearney or La Vista or some of these other communities, like-sized communities.
Sure.
And so we, Judy and kind of did that, brought some stuff together and put it on paper, and then we all read through that stuff and make comments on it at the end of these discussion periods. Hey, we like this, we don't like this, have you considered this? And then she basically hands that off to the city attorney, and Bill will go through and actually draft something and then get it in front of us so we can have a public hearing on it and then get some reaction and then send a recommendation on to city council. This is now obviously something as we're coming into the spring season here, we're seeing more and more of these trucks
Sure.
show up. I see them parked periodically throughout the community. So again, what we're trying to accomplish here is have a somewhat of a licensing process so that we know where these trucks are as a community, when they're going to be here, how long they're going to be here, who to get a hold of in case we have a problem. You know, somebody gets food poisoning, we need to know how to get a hold of these people so that we can take care of those issues, have them inspected by a health inspector,
yeah.
have them carry a state license, all that sort of stuff to make sure that what they're serving the general public is safe. That's the goal here, and we're getting a lot of positive feedback on that from other members of the commission, and so I expect to see something in public hearing form either April or May's meeting.
Mm-hmm. And then would this also be something that goes on to the city council?
Yes.
You make recommendations
Correct.
On changes, basically.
Right. Right. And again, remember, mm-hmm. Planning Commission's job is to make review things and make recommendations to the city council. And the city council's job is to take our recommendation and then apply their own knowledge to it and then either pass or reject it. And so mm-hmm. they have that final say on all this stuff. It'll be interesting to see how they it's always interesting to see that's feedback for the Planning Commission, right? Are we doing mm-hmm. our job well? Or are we not doing our job well? And so it'll be interesting to see how a couple of these things come mm-hmm. back at us.
And as we talked about several weeks ago when we first brought this subject up, it's always good to have you need to have a contact in
yes.
case you don't want the city to be liable
no.
for something that, you know, the food trucks should be
well, and
liable
I
for somebody comes down with food poisoning.
And I don't know that the city would ever get into a position where the city be liable, but it's more of a public safety. I mean, we dealt with a lot of food trucks in my career at Nebraska Land Days, but every one of those folks that we contracted with out there had to produce their state food safety license, right? They had to be licensed
yeah.
by the state of Nebraska. Well, we don't even know if some of these trucks that are just parked in private lots have gone through that step.
Right.
So we need to, as a community, we should be concerned about making sure that anybody who's going to come in and set up and do business, and the other part of that all too is it safe? Oh, by the way, are you charging and remitting sales taxes you're required
yes.
to by the state of Nebraska
yes.
and the city of North Platte.
Yep.
And that's a level the playing field type of thing for your local folks who have brick yep. and mortar storefronts here in North Platte
exactly.
as well. So there's a lot of things that go into these decisions, but those are two of the primary things that we're kind of keeping in mind here. A, is it safe? B, are they operating on the same
yep.
playing field that anybody who has a brick and mortar shop would be in from a sales tax standpoint? And then C, if something goes wrong or something doesn't happen the way it's supposed to, how do we get a hold of you?
Yep.
Those are the three things we're trying to address
yep.
here.
All good things, and look forward to seeing the recommendations and how the council deals with that and if they adopt them all. But I think it's always good to know and to make sure they've taken the appropriate food safety training
yes.
and they have the certification.
Yeah.
And then, of course, you want your tax money too.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I mean,
you're doing business. You know, you got to give us our pound of flesh. So
well,
to speak, right?
It's a fairness thing, right?
Yeah.
I mean,
sure.
If you go downtown here and pull up and have a hamburger and a soda. Yep. You're going to be charged sales tax.
They're even doing online. I mean, it used to be you could get away with paying sales tax sometimes online, but now the bigger retailers anyway, they all know the state you're purchasing from, and they know the sales tax rate. That's what you're paying, you know.
And so why should from their standpoint, why should somebody who just pulls a truck in and stays for a week or so avoid having to charge those things and remit those things? And so
I agree.
There's a leveling of the playing field there that we need to make sure.
Yeah, they shouldn't have an advantage from that standpoint. For sure. You mentioned the Board of Adjustment met yesterday, too. Anything out of there
to
convey?
We had an application out on 6th Street for a variance. And the issue there was you had a lot that had been split in two, and there's not currently a dwelling on this lot, and the owner wanted to place a light pole on there so they could put a security camera on there.
Oh, okay.
Well, this is in an R3 dwelling district or R3 residential district. And so in order to get power to a property from Municipal Light and Water, it's an if-then argument, right? If there is a dwelling, a primary dwelling on the property, then you may connect it to power. Well, what this person wanted to do was not put a dwelling on there, put a power pole on there so they could hook a security camera up because they intend to just pull a camper or store some things on this lot. Well, that's not kosher in an R3. Yeah. It's not kosher in any residential area. And so what the Board of Adjustment ultimately had to weigh is there some wild circumstance that would create this undue hardship on this person if we didn't allow them to do this? And the ruling was no. And so what you have to weigh in these situations is, if we allowed this person to do that, would we have a rash of other people that wanted to do that as well? And the answer in my mind was, you could potentially be open up Pandora's box here and say, well, you let this person do it. I want to use this lot to do whatever I want to with
invariably
it.
Invariably, that's
what happens.
It would set precedent.
Yeah. And ironically, this situation came up from something council did last year, where there was a plan. They were gonna park. This is an old section of town where there's a couple of non-conforming mobile homes. They wanted to split a lot so they could get two on there. Well, they split the lot, and then the person changed their mind and sold the lot that they split. So it kind of created this problem where you've got an irregular shaped lot, but These are the unintended consequences of...
They split it for the purpose of having
another dwelling on
it. A dwelling, but when they sold it, it was just considered one lot?
Well, no, it's still considered two lots, now instead of one 70-foot wide lot, you have one 35-foot lot, or two 35-foot lots.
Two 35s, okay.
And so there's a sliver of a 35-foot wide lot, and the issue is, can you get a dwelling on it? Yep, you sure can. And so ultimately the way it landed is that the Board of Adjustment did not grant that application. And so we'll see how that all kind of shakes out. Mm. But the compliments to the residents over there, including the applicant, who have really done a nice job cleaning that area up. I was in that neighborhood a couple of years ago, and it was pretty run down. They've cleaned a lot of that up over there. They're doing some nice things. And so it's one of those things where, like, they're doing the right things over there, and you wanted to help them out, but you just can't, because if you open that door, then everybody's going to try and walk through it. So
I'm thankful for people like you that you know, give up their time to be on these boards and consider these things.
That was a hard one.
A lot of people wouldn't want to deal with it. A lot of people would be like, let someone else be a part of that process.
The hard part about that is, again, you've got people that have done the right things over there. They're cleaning up their neighborhood. It looks great compared to what it looked like. And you have to look them in the face and go, well, I appreciate what you're doing, but you can't do this. Yeah. And that's a hard thing to do.
Yeah, for sure. Unless they have a permanent dwelling, right?
Yeah, but build a little house on there and put your power pole on it. Yeah,
that costs a lot more money.
Yeah, it costs a lot more money. It does. Yeah, it really does.
David Fudge, our guest on the program this morning. We appreciate you, sir.
Not a problem.
And let you get to your day job. Serve folks at the Nebraska Land Bank.
Yeah, sure. We'll head that way.